Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 is what Caleb just sang about. Wow, thank you, Caleb. Those are really, really great words that reflect the spirit of this passage. We are continuing in our 12 Mark series every month of this year. We're focusing in on a different imperative in the book of Hebrews. We started out in January with encourage, moved to endure, believe, work at peace, and grow holy, and worship. And now it is July, and the imperative is found in Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2, which is share your home. Let me read the passage there. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. 7 years ago, on June 28th of 2005, four Navy SEAL commandos were on a mission in Afghanistan searching for a notorious Al-Qaeda leader who was hiding out in a Taliban stronghold. As the battle ensued, three of the four SEALs were killed, and the fourth, Marcus Luttrell, was blasted unconscious by a rocket grenade, and he was blown over a cliff. Severely injured, he spent the next 4 days fighting off six Al-Qaeda assassins who were sent to finish him off, and he was then taken in by a Pashtun tribe who risked everything to protect him from the encircling Taliban killers. These Pashtun tribal folks took Luttrell back to their village, where the law of hospitality considered him strictly non-negotiable. They were committed, he said, they were committed to defend me against the Taliban until there was no one left alive. That law of hospitality is still very, very strong in the Middle Eastern culture and has been that way for thousands and thousands of years. You can read in your Bible, beginning in the book of Genesis, where Abraham offered food and drink to three visitors, including the Lord and two angels. It's what prompted Lot in the next chapter of Genesis to protect the two angels in his home in Sodom from people who wanted to rape him. Christine Pohl wrote a book titled Making Room, where she evaluated the history of hospitality from the time of Scripture through the ages of the church up until the present. And she said, even a superficial review of the first 17 centuries of church history reveals the importance of hospitality to the spread and credibility of the gospel. If hospitality to strangers was such an important part of Christian faith and life, how did it virtually disappear? Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 really insist that this subject we're talking about, and you and I are really all in one family. This is a family matter. Now, let's just make some observations here from this text. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I hope you'll memorize that this month. Make some surface observations here. Number one, love of other believers is the heartbeat of God's church. Hebrews 13 and verse 1, the vital sign of the church. And we have to ask, how do we love each other in real significant ways? That tells how healthy our church is. Church isn't an institution, it is a family. A family sacrifices, a family gives, a family serves, a family loves, a family goes to the mat for one another. We are family to one another. Do you really, really believe that, brothers and sisters? Number two, hospitality is a tangible expression of love. One and two ought to be linked together. Brotherly love and showing hospitality. Brotherly love is not simply affection. You can love someone without liking them. Brotherly love is not necessarily a feeling. It's doing something. Doing something like providing food or drink or shelter or sheets or a chair or company. That word hospitality literally means the love of aliens or the love of strangers. So the author here in 13:2 says they are to entertain strangers by opening their homes to travelers. They are to show the love of Christ. In ancient times, there was no Motel 6, there was no Holiday Inn, there was no convenient place for people to go. They were simply non-existent. And the inns that we all know of from the Bethlehem story were notoriously unsafe and expensive. Travelers were dependent, as a rule, were dependent on local residents to provide lodging and offer hospitality. And the readers of the letter of Hebrews apparently, just reading between the lines, but apparently had become lax to the needs of the stranger. They were kind of indifferent to other Christians who were coming in their community who needed a place to stay. Observation number three, there's a huge spiritual benefit to opening your life to those you don't know. He talks about here entertaining angels unaware, and I can't explain that to you. I really don't understand all that that means. But he says that you need to be mindful of those who need a roof over their head. And he reminds us here by pointing back to this story of angels, he's alluding to the story of Lot, the story of Abraham and the angels, the story of Gideon, the parents of Samson, and others who entertained angels. Number four, you can't tell in this world how God will use your generosity. You cannot bring somebody in your home and think that the payoff is in this life. It's not going to be. And you cannot bring someone into your home and think that the benefit is something that you're going to be able to measure and see while you're alive or while you know these individuals. Hospitality is a supernatural ministry. Entertaining angels unaware. It doesn't get much more supernatural than that. So this is just looking at the surface. These are the obvious things to point out. What I want to do this morning is overwhelm you with Scripture to prove how biblical, how practical, and how spiritual it is to share your home. How very like the nature of God to open your life and family to strangers. What does the Scripture say? We can't just isolate this verse, but if we were to ask with this verse, where does the author get this from the context of the overarching story of Scripture? Is this something he just draws out of a hat, or is this something that the Bible argues from cover to cover? I would say yes. Number one, what does the Scripture say? Seven things. Number one, share your home is a mark of a righteous person. To share your home is a mark of a righteous person. For example, Job. The Bible starts out the book of Job by informing us right up front that he was blameless and upright. He was a righteous person. But later on in that book, when Job was protesting against his sickness, he argues that one of the virtues that he never neglected, one of the virtues that I would say marked his righteousness, was opening his home. Job says, "The sojourner hath not lodged in the street. I have opened my doors to the traveler." As far back as you want to go in the history of God's people, one of the God-appointed duties of the righteous is to share your home, to practice hospitality, by which I mean the willingness to welcome people into your home who wouldn't necessarily belong there, or you might not even have intended to bring there. In the New Testament, this idea was reemphasized again and again and again for the Christian community. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, for example. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Some translations say pursue hospitality. And it literally means you need to seek it out. Paul says in Romans 12, 13, look for opportunities. Seek it out. He doesn't just mean practice hospitality. And some translations say practice hospitality, but here the translation better means pursue it. Take the initiative. Look for occasions where you can bless other people's lives and reach into their heart and share the gospel and enrich the church by practicing hospitality. So the commandment in Romans 12:13 is that hospitality not just be a once a year thing at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's an attitude. It's a practice. Our homes should stand constantly ready to exercise strategic hospitality. Hospitality that reaches into the lives of individuals and grows the church. It's a readiness to welcome people who aren't normally there. What does the Bible say? Number two, share your home is a command to be a kind of person. It's a command to be a kind of person. It's not just what we do. We need to get over the doing hang-up and first look at who I am. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now there's the attitude. The attitude of a believer, he puts it in the terms of a negative, is without grumbling. In other words, with a good attitude. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This means that we become the kind of people who do it and who like to do it. We practice hospitality because we enjoy it. So the command to be hospitable is not a command to just do something. It's a command to become somebody, to become this kind of person, to become like Jesus, to become like those who went before us who exercise hospitality. It's not just a command that can be legalistically fulfilled. Okay, on the fourth Sunday night of every month, I will have somebody at my house to give them popcorn and watch TV. And I've fulfilled my duty to you, God. Thank you. I'm now a spiritual Christian. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. It's a command to be a kind of person who doesn't resent having to be hospitable. The kind of person who doesn't look at extra dirty dishes and messed up bedding and bother and grumble about it. It's an overflow of God's hospitality to you. God's hospitable to me, and therefore that love, that grace to me, flows into the life of others. It's a way of life that's shaped by the gospel. Number three, share your home is a practice rooted in the Old Testament. Practice rooted in the Old Testament. Everything in the book of Hebrews comes out of the Old Testament. Two New Testament books, Hebrews and Revelation, are almost word-for-word quotations of the Old Testament put in different forms with the gospel laid across it. And Hebrews is that. Whatever Hebrews says, you look in the Old Testament, it says, where did he get that? The God-centered motivation for hospitality begins in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19 is a prime example of that, 19, 33, and 34. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, there would be people floating around the community of Israel who came from other areas around who were not Jewish. Maybe they weren't even circumcised. They were people who just happened to be there and live in the land. And they were to love them as themselves. I thought Jesus invented that phrase. I thought Jesus invented that concept. Well, he did because he wrote the Bible. But Jesus was going right back into the heart of the Old Testament. The kind of attitude that a believer ought to have is to love the stranger as you love yourself. Exodus 23, verse 9. You shall not oppress a sojourner, a traveler, a homeless person, a person who needs a place to stay. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You know what it's like. You say, well, I've never been homeless. I've never been a stranger. I've always had money to put myself up at the Holiday Inn. Well, then maybe you need to start thinking in Christian gospel spiritual terms. You were far away from God and he took you in. You know the heart of a sojourner. Now, love others as you would want to be loved yourself. Number four, share your home is a value straight from God's heart. It's a value straight from God's heart. Leviticus 19:34. He roots the command. He grounds the command to be hospitable in this truth. For I am the Lord your God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to know God. I want to grow to become like God in every way. Do you open your home? This is fundamental to what it means to be God-like, is to swing open the doors to your home and bring others in. For the people of God in the Old Testament, the duty of hospitality came right from the center of who God is. I am the Lord your God who made a home for you, and I brought you there with all my might and soul. Therefore, you shall love the stranger as yourself, and you shall be holy as I am holy. So God is saying, my values shall be your values. That's what he's saying to you. I'm just quoting the scripture here. The thing that God loves are the things that you ought to love. And if God has reached into your heart and yanked out that heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh, and you've been born again by God's grace, then you ought to be growing in that heart of flesh to have God's heart and to love the things he loves. And he loves strangers. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Wow! That is who God is. We sang about that, about how great and how awesome and incredible and indescribable God is. Who is not partial and takes no bribe? He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You get that? God says, here's who I am. Awesome, incredible, mighty, indescribable, wonderful. I love strangers. I love aliens. I love people. You need to love people. You can't love God and not love people. So they asked Jesus, remember this question? And who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? And he answered with the story of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is the one you love. I don't think I'd be too far off to say that most of you in this room have at least one or two or three people living next door to you that you don't even know them. You don't even know who they are. And God says, love the neighbor, love your strangers, love the people who are traveling, love the people who need a place to stay, love people who need company. Share your home as a value straight from God's heart. We do this because this is who God is, and we want to become like God. Number five, share your home is a reflection of undeserved grace. Share your home is a reflection of undeserved grace. What is the ultimate bottom line motivation for my loving those who don't deserve it and opening my home to those who I otherwise would not? The answer is grace. What is grace? Grace is the hospitality of God to welcome sinners not because of their goodness, but because of his glory. Or we could define it this way. Grace is God's disposition to glorify his freedom, power, and wealth and name by showing hospitality to sinners. He says, here I am, come to me. I don't deserve it. And yet, he, of his free gift, opens himself up to us. Caleb did a great job of integrating this principle into the song this morning. Let's think about this in gospel terms. Why is hospitality such a gospel-rooted command? Ephesians 2. Remember that you were at that time before Christ, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He uses the very same terminology that's used of hospitality, particularly in the Old Testament. Aliens, strangers, that's who you were. You were out there. You were away. You were not part of God's people. Now, it was small encouragement to the Gentiles that God made a covenant with the people of Israel. We're still aliens, strangers, outside of salvation, without God and having no hope in the world. And the ultimate act of hospitality was when Jesus Christ died for sinners to make everyone who believes a member of the household of God. We are no longer strangers and sojourners. We're no longer aliens to Christ. We have come home to God, and everyone who trusts in Jesus finds a home in God. Ephesians 2:15. Christ created in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. So then, you are no longer strangers. There's that share your home terminology, the very same language that's used in the Old Testament. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're all family here. You've been invited home. And the argument of the New Testament is that because we have received grace, because we have been brought in by God, we did not deserve it. We were sinners, we were aliens, we were rebels against God, but he brought us in by his grace. We therefore open our home to others to come into us. Number six, share your home is an opportunity for God's power to conquer self-centeredness. Share your home is an opportunity for God's power to conquer self-centeredness. There is a psychological force of gravity that constantly pulls at our thoughts and affections inward toward our own selves and our own homes. And therefore, the most natural thing in the world is for us to neglect hospitality. It's the path of least resistance. It's the easiest thing to do. I just turn inward. I only hang out with people who are like me and people whom I like and people whom are safe and people whom are comfortable. And all we have to do then is yield toward that natural gravity of the self-centered life, and the result is going to be a life so full of self that there's no room for hospitality. Make no mistake, I'm not arguing that hospitality is easy, and I'm not arguing that hospitality is always fun or that it's always safe. I'm arguing that it like Jesus Christ, and it is the opposite of self-centeredness. So Hebrews 13, 1 and 2 says we need to forget about all that, and so we need to not neglect hospitality because of self-centeredness, but to become like Christ. And the Bible constantly says, stop that self-centeredness stuff. Build a launching pad to go out of self-centeredness and turn toward others. Stop neglecting hospitality and begin practicing it. Let me give you just one verse as an example. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. As to the rich in this present age, and I know that nobody in this room really feels they're rich. Rich is always somebody who makes twice as much as you do, or more. I mean, that's the definition of rich. Rich is always on a sliding scale, and the more you make in life, rich bumps up a little bit higher. But according to the rest of the world, we're rich. Make no mistake about that. Everybody else thinks we're rich. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, self-centered, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. So the way that we defeat self-centeredness is to say no to that and to turn to Christ and become like him and become generous. Jane Schlack, John and Jane, were here in our church for many years before they left to become missionaries in Ukraine, and God called them to a large part of their ministry is guest housing. John and Jane have sometimes folks in their homes every day of the week, sometimes several people in the course of a month, strangers, people they've never met. Before they left the United States, I think Jane would have described herself as an average host. You know what an average host is? Somebody who has people in occasionally, not very often to stay overnight. Maybe might invite somebody over from church on rare occasions, but just pretty run-of-the-mill and average. Now she has become extraordinary because that's their ministry. So I asked Jane, what do you have to say about this whole principle of hospitality? What's the Lord taught you? And here's what she said. What has the Lord taught me through hosting lots and lots of people? He has taught me that cooking and changing sheets are not all that there is to hosting and having people. Strangers in my home, sometimes 7 days a week. She said, I thought I was a servant, but I found out not really. When put to the test of serving, having people in my home all the time, not family or friends, but people I didn't know, I found out differently. The Lord used each person to teach me something about myself, but also more about who He is. What a huge blessing hosting has become. I have learned that serving others is serving the Lord, and He gives great joy. We have made many friends that we would never have known. You see, I think what Jane is saying is that when you obey Christ and you begin opening your home and you begin imitating Christ, that He transforms your heart. It's the outflow of a transformed heart, but it's also the process of changing your heart. And sometimes you just got to do something in order for the Lord to change your heart. Whether that be any one of these 12 marks or any other form of behavior to become like Christ, you just got to start doing it, and then the Lord will change your heart. And if you will commit to opening your home, inviting someone in, bringing people over, being hospitable in various different ways, then the Lord is going to do that heart change, and that's what He's done for her. Number 7, share your home is a mark of authentic Christianity. Share your home is a mark of authentic Christianity. You know the parable of sheep and goats in Matthew 25. I won't have you turn there because of time, but Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats, which basically he's judging whether a person is authentic or whether they're not authentic. And he said here in Matthew 25, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And they said, when do we see you in sick or in prison or visiting? When do we do all this stuff? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Wow. When I practice hospitality, I'm doing it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not just doing it for Him. I'm doing it to Him because it reflects that I am a sheep. I am one of His children. And I am living for Him, and I'm doing this to Him as an act of worship to Him. Matthew 10:42, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So the command is pretty simple here in Hebrews 13. The command is to share your home. How do I do this? Well, this isn't a program. This isn't a checklist. This is a heart attitude. We could say that this is casual. It's just giving. It's the whole idea of my heart and life and the way I live. Let me give you some suggestions. Many of these Catherine and I have done over the years. You can invite each other home. And if you're going to do that, husbands, make sure your wife's on the same page. It's got to be a team effort. And I want to tell you, folks, please hear me. Please hear me. No home is too humble. I've had privilege by God's grace to travel in various places all over the world. And I found that the most hospitable people that I've stayed with and visited and eaten with in various places of the world are some of the poorest that I've ever known. I found that income has absolutely nothing to do with hospitality. I found that household cleanliness, maybe that was ingrained in you by your mother, has absolutely nothing to do with hospitality. I mean, if I make a suggestion, you know, everything doesn't have to be picked up. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be spit and polished. Turn the TV off. You know, that'd be a good idea. But you can open your home. I don't care who you are. You can open your home. If you will, by God's grace, sacrifice your privacy for fellowship, then you'll find that in time you get better at it and you love it more and people love coming over. Greet and welcome people right here in church. Make a conscious effort to make this church home, our family home right here at Graham, hospitable. walk up to somebody you don't know. I know they've been here before, but I don't want to embarrass them by telling them I don't know their name. And just say, hi, maybe we've met, but I can't remember your name. My name is, where do you work? What do you do? Do you live in the area? Just simple questions. Just start a conversation. Do foster care. Adopt the child. I love Graham Church because of this. We are, an exception to this, but we are the most adopting church that I've ever had privilege to be a part of, I've ever known. And it is awesome to see that many of you have thrown wide open the doors of your home and brought in strangers to live and to stay, some for a lifetime. Thank you. Thank you for being Graham Church. Host a home group. Dozens of you have done that already. Relationships are made and built in informal settings like a home group. And there is a rich reward in eternity for those who intentionally work at discipleship by small group ministry involving their home. Thank you. Take in a woman in trouble. Catherine and I have done this too. Maybe you can even save an unborn child's life by giving that woman options that she didn't have before. Or you could reach out to an international. The world is 10 miles that way. Right there. 10% of that student body is mainland Chinese. And there are Muslims, there are people from all over the globe right over there. And if you will take the initiative, if you'll work at it, you can open your home and create an opportunity for them to come to know an American believer and find out who Jesus Christ is. Minister to someone who's homeless. Bring them in your house. I know it's risky. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. And I've done it. So I know it has its own challenges. But by God's grace, you can be just like Jesus Christ. So for July, our challenge for July is to share your home. July of 2012, share your home. I challenge you to make this practical. This is not just intellectual. This is not just something you'll... But let's make this... We'll put this down where the rubber meets the road. I want to give you three challenges for July. Number one, in July, invite someone into your home who's never been there before. This is easy. Invite someone into your home who's never been there before, like a neighbor, a classmate, a coworker, preferably an unbeliever, or maybe a Christian, but invite someone. Say, well, man, I can't do this. I can't do what Pastor Mike has done. I can't do what others here. I can't adopt, or I can't. Don't tell me what you can't do. What I know you can do is invite someone to your home who's never been there before. You can do this. This is achievable. This is obeying the gospel. This is obeying the command of Scripture in a tangible, practical, achievable way. Number two, pray each day this month and ask God the Holy Spirit how you can use your home for the kingdom of God. Ask God to humble you so that you do not feel obligated to be a perfect host or an exceptional host, but simply a host. Will you be a host? Will you hand over your most significant financial investment to God? Lord, you can have my 20. I put it in the plate this morning. Lord, you can have my golf clubs. I won't play on Sunday morning. Lord, you can have my car. I'll loan it to somebody. No, I'm asking you, based on the Bible, to give your house to God. Number three. This month, find 1 hour, to take a church brother or sister whom you don't know well to dinner, coffee, or an activity where you can visit together. Find an hour to just meet somebody. Visit with them. Talk with them. Find encouragement from them. Build them up. Help them out. Why? Why should you do these crazy things? Why should you do these un-American things? Why should you do these things that war against your flesh? Because Hebrews 13 and verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You don't know. You have no clue how God is going to use you. Will you obey? I'd like you to listen to this song.